Okay. Come on up here. All right, we're going to do some questions and answers. How did you make amends to your children about your abusive behavior towards them? And did you become abusive after that? And how did you explain that to your children? I'm thinking about your children 6 to 7 years. I assume that means 6 or 7 years of my sobriety. I'm not sure. I made apologies and some amends to my children regularly and was not able to change my behavior early in that process. So you could tell that you make amends and then you do it again, or you say you're sorry and then you do it again. When I finally made amends, I didn't make the amend I made was stopping the behavior. I had had enough conversation. I didn't want any more conversation about it. If you ask my with my one child, with the middle boy, who was the one that was most difficult, and he and I were nose to nose, kind of like my father and I were nose to nose. He and I, when I noticed that his behavior towards his younger brother was similar to my behavior towards him, we went to a psychologist, he and I, and did a day worth of work about this. I think if you stood my boys up and asked them any questions and said, is this finished? I think they would say, yes, it's finished. I'm not positive about my youngest boy, and I'm going to take a look if there's anything in that that I have to do. That has not been an issue for 15 years or 10 years or whatever it has been. So I have made amends on it. I did have trouble after I promised them I would change the behavior, like a lot of us do. We promise things that sometimes we're not able to do. And if you ask me if it was complete with my children today, I'd say we were just all on vacation together, the three boys and Linda and our daughter-in-law, and I say it's complete and it's handled and there are no outstanding issues between my sons and myself. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's a...
I would definitely agree with that, but I also made amends, especially to this one son, Peter, the one that we're talking about. And I said to him, you know, I was wrong and maybe I should have done more to make it safer for you, to have protected you. Maybe I should have left. And he got very, very upset with me, and he said, you mean you would want to leave my father? And I said, no, I didn't want to do that, but maybe. So anyway, he and I have had conversations about that also. And I would definitely say I think it's to bed. I think the relationship is very, very good among the five of us. Do you do a four-step regularly? Or do you inventory through 10, 11 on a daily basis? I'm not one of those people that does a four-step every year. The last four-step I did was 2 years ago, January.
I think you need another one.
I maybe do. And that was the reason I did that is because my sponsor had died in September, and I was fortunate enough to have a new sponsor, and she and I did a fourth and a fifth step together to sort of get to know each other at a different level. Oh, well, in that one, and also with the marriage one I did the inventory in a pie shape. And I picked pieces of my pie. And then I checked them with my sponsor.
What were they?
And, well, I can tell you what the one on marriage was. No, I can tell you. I have it right here. The one on marriage, I had 8 pieces of the pie. Sex, parenting, finances, chores, recreation, Al-Anon AA, toys, and friends.
What do you mean by toys?
Toys were Bob's motorcycles. And I did, so I do 4 steps probably, I would say it's been running every 3 to 4 years. And yes, you know, every day I look at the day and see what I should have done and what I could have done better and what I liked that I did do. So that's my answer to that one.
On the subject of money, if you have dug yourself a hole, a deep hole, that isn't possible to get out of in your lifetime, how do you treat that issue? Do you sort Do you sort your
debts?
Debts, taxes, personal loans, bank loans, and prioritize. You don't know what God will make available to you in the process of doing your amends. I went near bankrupt in 1992. I lost $8 million in 3 years. From 1986 to about 1992, and gained 40 pounds. I was going to write a book about how to lose $8 million and gain 40 pounds. I had trouble finding a publisher. We negotiated our way out of bankruptcy. We had millions of dollars worth of debt related to real estate investments, some of it personal, some of it not personal. We were able to, afterwards, pay some people back on things that we did not have to, that were unexpected, and we thought we'd never get to a point where we would be restored, where we could retire, and we've gone well past that point. Our prosperity has been returned. I think that if you open yourselves up to 8 and 9 with a good heart, you will know what to do. You will have conversations with people who are, if you have large debts, you need to find yourself a person with a good program who's sophisticated also in business that can give you some balance. You know, some debts can be discharged in bankruptcy and I don't think need to be attended to. Others need to be attended to. But I know people who have paid back hundreds of thousands of dollars when they did their list, they had not near the income to deal with those issues. I know people who have paid back $20,000 a year for 15 years. And then when they were done, they had an extra $20,000 a year for themselves. And contrary to turn out to be a drain, it actually turned out to be a blessing because of what they did. So do not limit yourself. Do not do your eighth and ninth step because you say, I owe too much money, I can't do that. Do the eighth step, which is not about making amends. It's about doing a complete list and being honest, taking a look at it and the character of it, and become willing to make amends. And then the ninth step is about making amends. And you may need some counseling in that process, but I don't think you can assume. That's what I think is part of so wonderful about 8 and 9. I think powerful things are available in the eighth and ninth step that are beyond your expectation.
This one I think you should do.
Why is Bob so much smarter than Linda?
A few days ago, a thing popped up in my mind about 8 years ago, I broke a window in a bus, and I really haven't decided if I should do a ninth step on it. What is your opinion?
Pay for the window.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you believe that you can cure your sight addiction if you have one through the AA program? Yes and no. I don't believe I can answer that question for you. I can answer it for me. I had a serious gambling problem, and at 8 years of sobriety, by using the program, I was able to stop gambling. I've not gambled since my eighth year of sobriety. Well, I have two or three times in the last 29 years been with my wife, and we put $20 worth of quarters in a machine or something like that. Other than that, I don't gamble. I sponsor a man with 32 years of sobriety that's an active member of GA, and it was necessary for him at 28 years of sobriety to become an active member of GA or he would not have been able, and he went to treatment for gambling, 28 years sober. 50% of the members in GA in our area are recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is rampant. We have grooves of behavior that are compulsive and obsessive, okay? The physical part of our alcoholism went away. The mental and spiritual goes underground and expresses itself in our lives, usually in an excessive or compulsive manner in one or two areas. I'm proud to say I had two or three, but a lot of people only have one or two. But everybody's got something that they have to handle in sobriety. Most people, and again, my story, sometime between 5 and 10 years of sobriety, you got to stand up and do it again. I think you don't get it all done in the first 3 or 4 or 5 years. I think somewhere in your middle sobriety, you've got another layer of kind of honesty and inventorying that you've got to do to take a look at some of the unmanageabilities that you didn't identify in your first couple of years of sobriety. And that's not an unusual circumstance. It's usual. And a lot of times, people like me, when we're sober 7 or 8 years, think we're doing a terrible job because our pants are on fire at 7 or 8 years of sobriety, when that's not unusual. I find when I start talking to people that that's more common than not. So I think certainly it's the same God, it's the same steps, it's the same program. What you get in a second program is fellowship and specific conversation around that addiction. But if you don't treat it seriously enough, then it's kind of like a self-improvement program. And I don't expect much to come out of a self-improvement program, as I do the traditional relationship with the 12-step program.
In Al-Anon in Iceland, there are some who use the Big Book and some who use translations of Path to Recovery. What do you use when sponsoring, and what is your view on Al-Anon literature? I like the literature very much. I like the book Paths to Recovery. There's another book that we have. It's a navy blue book, and it's called Al-Anon, How It Works. And I like that one. But Paths to Recovery I like also because it has the list at the end of the chapters, the questions. The Big Book is not approved literature for Al-Anon. And in our group at home, it just makes me crazy, and we're not going to even go there. But the group that I go to at home, we have voted that the Big Book is part of our Al-Anon literature. And so we use the Big Book, we use the columns, we read the promises, and for me, that's our basis, and I can't understand why we're not supposed to use it. Oh, I love it.
Okay, but I mean,
Oh, yeah.
You said it drives you crazy.
No, it's another issue. Okay. What is?
How can you, how do you know when you're acting in God's will and not your own? And how do you know when God has answered your prayers? If you're asking that question with your heart rather than your head, you'll know. You know. You know when you're doing your will and not doing God's will. I mean, when you're looking for God's will, there's a humility and a sense of obedience in the process, and I don't think you have to wonder. And if you're going to err, you're going to err on the side of doing what you think is best. And whenever you have that attitude, you're not going to be in trouble. And I believe we have ways of knowing a hell of a lot more than we think we know. And most of the profound knowing is not with our heads.
What I do in that instance when I've got an area where I'm not sure about, I sort of put my idea out there, like I'm going to take a trip to Iceland. And is that God's will or not God's will? And the way I look at it is I always say, God, if you want me to go, allow it to fall together. If I'm not supposed to go, put up the roadblocks. And then I try to watch for both of them. That is very helpful to me. I don't know if it helps you at all, but that does help me. Here's another one. I recently started an Al-Anon and need to make amends to myself. How can I do this? I think we make amends to ourselves by getting healthy. We make amends to ourselves by, living in integrity. We make amends by working the steps, working with other people, getting out of ourselves and reaching out to someone else with love. We make amends by treating other people the way we need to be treated.
Is it possible to be a recovering alcoholic in relationship with an active alcoholic or drug user? Yes. Is it a good idea if you had a chance to go into a relationship knowing that the person you were going into the relationship was an alcoholic, not just a user? I think that would be not smart. Love has a way of confounding common sense. Lust also has a way of confounding human sense. But there are some wonderful people who have the problem of alcoholism and drug dependency. There are people who are attractive, who we are attracted to, and that will happen. And I don't think that, I know people I just marvel at the Al-Anon to stay with practicing alcoholics. Most of us would kill each other. Okay, but there's a type of love and acceptance that is profound in that process.
I can't read. Those are the only two left.
Is denial a common symptom that hinders recovery? Yes. Is denial of being an alcoholic all part of how the brain of an alcoholic works? Yeah, I think denial is part of any problem. I mean, a problem is an illusion. A problem is something that we keep in place, and it doesn't jive with reality, which is why it's a problem. And the more that we are unwilling to accept the reality of the issue in our lives, the bigger the problem is. And the way we keep that intact is with denial and suppression, you know, and blame. I like blame. Happiness is knowing who to blame. Do you search yourself for potential 9 steps or simply go to them as they come up? I searched myself for the list of 8 and 9 when I did 8 and 9. I don't do that ongoingly like Linda does. And I just wait for them to come up, either the next time I do 8 and 9 or in the process of living my day. In my early part of sobriety, I regularly ran into people on the street or had circumstances that I'd go, oh, my God.
Okay, I think we're done. There's just one question from somebody, and if they would like to come up and talk about it, it's about grown-up children of alcoholics, and I can't understand the question. So if the person feels comfortable, come up and we'll talk about it. And if not, they can maybe put it back in the basket again. And I don't know. It isn't like it's written wrong. I just can't quite get the question out of it.
Já, nú hérna tökum við okkur 20 mínútna hlé, pásu eða kaffipásu. Ég ætla bara að minna ykkur á pottinn og hérna frammi kynning á XA hérna radio og hægt að kaupa diska. Og hérna svo bara 10, 11 og 12 og eftir. Og hérna og kannski segja ykkur frá því að hérna Bob er speaker í kvöld og Linda í fyrramálið. Og látið sem þess alla vini ykkar og vini þeirra vita til að koma speakerinn í kvöld. Ok, smá pása.